May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Before we get into the sermon itself, I just want to address the issue of, here we are, and this is where we were planning to be, but later today is certainly not where we were planning to be. And when we gathered last night in obedience to what the Lord said, he told us, just show up. And I thought that was a wonderful evening. And I want to give a testimony, as Jackie will attest. I was putting some pizza in the oven, and I went to stand up after bending down to put the pizza in the oven last night. And my knee gave out, and I went collapse. And then we were sitting around the dinner table, and when I got up, my knee gave way, and I went crash again. So I had everybody pray over me last night. And folks, you saw, I can genuflect, I can do it all. So to God be the praise and the glory for that. It's been a week where the enemy has tried his best to derail us. For those of you who may not be aware, David's father-in-law died, what was that, on Thursday? Thursday. And actually, David was here Friday morning, and we were praying together. And then I did not realize, but his dog was ill, and his dog died yesterday on top of everything else. And so it's been hard that way. Friday morning, I got a call from the director over at MAPS and said that somebody had broken into our shed over at MAPS at the gardens. So I went over there, and sure enough, they had ripped the hasp completely off of the shed and thrown the lock away somewhere. I have no idea where. But there wasn't anything missing out of it.
There's nothing
of value in there, yeah. But anyway, then we arrived here last night, and somebody had broken into the shed just outside here and stolen our lawnmower and the gas and all the electrical cords. And anyway, and you know, of course, we had the homeless man who was out here last Sunday, and we ministered to him, and he was here all week this week. And of course, our thoughts went immediately to, he did it. You know, that was the logical explanation of who broke into the shed. But you know, we prayed for him last night around the table, and prayed for whoever it was who broke into the shed and stole all of our stuff. But then just as I was leaving, John, the homeless man, showed up. And he asked to meet me, and we went into my office. And he said, I got so mad at that guy. His name was Mike, and he was here with his wife, Amber, and his two children. And he broke into that shed out there. And I got so mad at him because I knew you were going to blame me for it.
No.
Oh, God. You know, you just kind of feel your gut wrench at a moment like that. But it was so easy. It would be so easy to get mad about all these things. And then, of course, Open Streets Asheville was canceled, and Father Mark couldn't come. And it's just been, the enemy is trying really hard. But a week ago, last Thursday, my rector's council met with the bishop online, and he was talking about all of the things that had come against him, because last Wednesday, he hurt his back again. He pulled his back out again, and he was supposed to be at the House of Bishops this week. And he wasn't sure he was going to make it. And he was saying that in his prayers and in his understanding of what the Lord was saying is that the enemy is overplaying his hand. And so we just need to stand fast, stand firm, stand in the Lord. The enemy will not triumph. God is victorious, not will be. The God is victorious, and we need to stand in that truth. And also, obviously, Father Mark was going to preach today, so here I am. And David and I were talking about sermons. I realized last night, I was trying to think, the first sermon I ever preached was on July of 1975. So I've been preaching for 43 years. That's just scary when you think about that. Oh, my gosh. I'm old.
People are still listening.
What's that?
Say, God bless, another 43. At least.
All right, whatever. But David and I were sharing some tales of preaching, and
Well, how, tell them about the string of pearls.
Oh yeah, when your sermon doesn't come together the way you think that the Spirit should have given it to you, he said, what God has given you is a strand of pearls. He said, you take each one of those pearls and share them with the congregation.
So, be ready for whatever pearls the Lord may have for us today. Turn to Mark. Yes?
Since John knows the guy that broke into the shed, are you going to get your stuff back?
Well, I don't know. We've got to find the guy. We'll have to see. But hopefully we'll follow it and see where the trail leads. But he knows the guy, but he only knows him by his first name. So, but we do have video surveillance, and maybe we can figure out what his license plate number was or whatever. We'll see. But God is good. It's just stuff. Everybody here is safe, and we are all, he didn't hurt anybody. And that's more important than the stuff. It's just stuff. Turn to Mark chapter 8. And verse 34 of Mark chapter 8. Jesus, Peter has just confessed him to be the Christ, and of course, Jesus rebukes Peter because of his lack of faith there. But in verse 34, then he, in response to all of that, he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We hear a lot about taking up your cross and following Jesus, but there's a step that comes before that. If you will look at that real carefully, it just says, if anyone would come after me, it doesn't just jump to take up your cross. It says he must deny himself. I was reminded as I was praying about this, did you all ever hear about the man who was going to get the humility award? Well, they couldn't give it to him because he showed up to receive it. You deny yourself. It's the humility that God is calling for is something that has to come from above. It doesn't come from within us. We can't just decide to be humble. It's something. It's better to let God give us the grace to be humble than to give us the judgment of humiliation, okay? And those are really pretty much the two options. And so allowing God to work in us, and this seems to me that what the Lord is saying this morning in regards to this whole week is just being humble before Him and recognizing, just as we heard in the prophetic words this morning, that, we don't have control over the situations of our life. We don't have control over whether or not we get broken into. We don't have control over the weather. We don't have control over our physical bodies. We have only to be yielded unto Him, to deny ourselves and to follow Him. And I think it's a good word, but there's two pieces in here that I would like to focus on. And that is that to deny yourself, we must have penitent hearts, okay? We must have a spirit of repentance. If you're doing the daily office, you'll see this. Every morning prayer, every evening prayer, every service of Compline, just before you go to bed, first thing in the morning you get up, and what is the first thing you do? You confess your sins unto Almighty God. The last thing you do before you put your head down on the pillow is confess your sins unto Almighty God. If you were reading the daily office and reading the lessons, today we were reading in Daniel. Actually, if you'll look there, go to Daniel chapter 3. And Daniel chapter 3, this is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. Okay, you all remember this story, yes? I hope. If you look at verse 22, The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Now, what you miss here in the nearly infallible version is that there's a whole bunch of other verses that fall between verses 23 and 24. And it's called the Prayer of Azariah and the Song of the Three Young Men. And it's found in the Apocrypha. Are you aware of that? Hugh, do you have a Roman Catholic version?
Well, I got the Jerusalem.
Does it have
yes.
the Song of Azariah right there?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the Prayer of Azariah and the Song of the Three Young Men. So it's interesting. It's in the Roman Catholic version. It's in the Eastern Orthodox version. But it was removed from the Protestant version because it's part of the Apocrypha, which goes in. I can give you a whole long explanation of why it's not there. But the important thing to note is that the Prayer of Azariah, or the Prayer of Abednego, as he was called, the prayer is a prayer of repentance. You get thrown into a fiery furnace. Is your immediate reaction going to be, "Oh God, forgive me," or "Oh God, save me"? I don't know about you, but I tend to go with the "Oh God, save me" more often than the "Oh God, forgive me." But he had a humble heart. He had a penitent heart. And so immediately he goes into a prayer of confession and asking for forgiveness for not just himself and not just the other two young men, but for forgiveness for all of Israel. And then what happens? Then they go into a song of petition and please, Lord, save us from this fiery. No, they go into this wonderful song of praise to God. And the three of them are dancing around in the fire and just singing praise to God. You see, what I'm trying to say is that there's a heart that God needs to give to us. We need to have a creation of a new heart and a new spirit. If we're going to go out and minister in the community, if you remember last week, Father Chris was saying that this weekend is not about the city. It's about us. And I believe that may be part of the reason why we're not out there this week, is that God is still working on us, creating in us a new heart, creating in us a new spirit, a humble heart. Isn't that what we just sang? Give me a humble heart? Wow. Okay, maybe there is a message in all of this. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew in us a right spirit. Take not your spirit from me. Make me whole. Make me humble. That's what God is calling us to. And then it's interesting, of course, in verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" And they replied, "Certainly, O king." "Well, look, there's four walking around in the fire. And one of them is like a son of man." A son of man.
Son of
wonder.
God.
Son of God, okay. Son of the gods, whatever. But it's the Son of Man was there because they had put themselves in a position where they were tapped into the holy. And so Christ was present with the three young men in the fiery furnace. Even so that Nebuchadnezzar saw it. Now imagine if we were to go downtown with that humble heart and that humble spirit, and we had penitent hearts and we had that relationship with Christ. Wouldn't it be awesome if the people there didn't see us at all, but saw the Christ? That's not going to happen if we are so focused on ourselves. What do I need to say? What do I need to do? How do I need to approach it? No. Just be there. Just show up was the word we heard last week. Just show up with Christ, being in Christ, being humble before Him. That Christ may be made manifest. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar then goes on and he tells everybody, "Now you've got to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." You know, wouldn't that be awesome too? If people downtown, "Well, we've got to worship the people. We've got to worship the God of these people who are doing this work." Yeah. You know, It's not about us. I've heard this before. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about the kingdom. It is about God. And that's awesome. You know, the humility part of all this, too, is to recognize that, you know, we had invited Father Mark to come up and do a teaching before we went out onto the streets this afternoon. He was supposed to do this teaching last night. But I was thinking about that and, you know, what are you going to teach? There's no formula for healing. You know, well, if you will do this and this and this, then all these people are going to be healed. No. But the teaching is more along the lines of, if you will humble yourself and confess your sins and be penitent before God, then God can have His way with you. If you deny yourself, take up your cross. By the way, you know what a cross is used for, right? It's to kill you. You know, if you die to yourself and be made alive to Christ, that's the teaching, is that God can then use this vessel that has been prepared for Him. So, you lay yourself open, be used by God, and God will get the glory, not you, not me. All right, so that was Azariah. And then if you look, finally, we'll end here. This is the last pearl, if you will, in the string. In Isaiah chapter 50, which was the Old Testament lesson for today, in verse 4, this is the second of the suffering servant songs of Isaiah. In verse 4 of chapter 50, it says, "The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary." Now, isn't that a wonderful thought about ministering to the people of God? That we have been, as it were, instructed by God. We have been humbled by God. We have been put in the position of being yielded unto His Spirit. And what's going to come of that? A word that sustains the weary and heals and brings the... And, you know, one of the things we were talking about last night as we were gathered here last night was, we think in terms of healing as physical, but how many people do we know are wandering on the streets of this town who are weary, who are just, you know, beaten down by the world around us, and are emotionally and spiritually and mentally broken? And what does God want to do? He wants to bring that word that sustains the weary. And what is that word? That word is Jesus. Keep going with verse 4. "He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught." Are we beginning each day with prayer? Are we coming before God the first thing in the morning, that when the light comes, we may receive the light of Christ, that we may have our minds and our spirits enlightened by Him, and to have the ear to hear what He is telling us to do, that we may walk in His paths as one being taught? And then verse 5, "The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back." Am I willing to go where He sends me, and am I willing to do what He tells me to do? Sometimes it's going to be a hard word that you may hear, but knowing that God is the one who's in control should give us all comfort and peace. Well, those are the pearls, guys, for what they're worth. I pray that they may be of some value to each one of you. And to God be the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.